Good. Amen. The Lord is good today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So good to have everyone here on a Wednesday night. If it looks a little different in the congregation, that's because we have a leadership meeting going on right now. So there's a lot of folks that are over in the fellowship hall. If you're watching online, we appreciate you visiting in. If you're a first-time visitor here tonight, we're just so glad that you're here. You can be seated. We have a connection card that we'd like for you to fill out. We'd like to just get a couple points of information and get to know you a little bit better, try to connect with you as best we can, some of our ministries and connection groups. And so if you are watching online, though, you can do the same thing as the card, but just follow that bit.ly link /CGC connection, and that'll do this exact same thing. Amen. So we're just glad you're here with us. We have some giving options tonight. You can give four different ways. You can give online at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can give in person if you want to drop an offering or tithes in a box in the back vestibule. You can give by mail or you can give by the mobile app, Church Center. And that's easy to download and get signed up. You just put your phone number in there. And if you have any problems with that, you can just see one of the pastoral staff and they can assist you. But that seems to be working very well as an awesome resource for our church for communication and other things like that. And so we have a few announcements. This Friday, July 15th, it's all church prayer. at 7 p.m. Woohoo! And this Saturday, there's a hyphen bonfire. Now, this last service Sunday, we announced that was going to be at Roy's house, but it's not. It's moved over to Nate Neeson's house. And so that's going to be at 5:30. So we're looking at rain coming up for this weekend. So they've decided that they're going to make a decision tomorrow based upon the weather. And if that weather is looking fair, then we'll go forward and have the hyphen bonfire. If it's looking bad, they're going to cancel and issue a rescheduled date tomorrow on Facebook and social media and also the Church Center app. And so be watching for that so that you know what to do, because it's kind of not cool to have a bonfire in the rain. So we don't want to do that. Now, this Sunday is an awesome Sunday, a busy weekend. All our normal classes are at 10 a.m., but at 11 a.m. service, Morton Bustard will be ministering to us. And so we're excited to have Morton Bustard, who comes to CGC annually for a number of years, prophet of God, gifts of healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. If you have any visitors that you think need to come and they need a healing or they need some deliverance, they need salvation, this weekend would be an awesome time to bring friends, family, relatives, neighbors, folks that you find at the gas station, anybody out there, they need to hear about Jesus this Sunday. At 6 p.m., Morton Bustard will also be ministering again, but to the men. This will be at Pastor Roy's house. It's a men's ministry service at 6 p.m., and so we look forward to having all the men out, and it's going to be food and fellowship. We're going to bring out all the grills, so please bring your own meat item, steak, and we'll have sides. But it's going to be a great time in the Lord. Looking ahead, we are excited to be worshiping together as one big church family for our All Nations Summer Fun Fest coming up August 7th at 10 a.m. And so we've already reserved our tents, and we've reserved all of the inflatables. We have games planned, and we're going to be, we had a lot of good response with the tacos from last year, so we're going to do the tacos again. Is that okay with everybody? We're going to do tacos again, and we'll be announcing our speaker a little bit later. But the service will begin at 10 a.m. on that day with no classes that day. So afterwards, we'll be joining together for food and fun on the grounds, and more info to come. And so let's all stand. We'll go to the Lord in prayer for the rest of the service. If you need to step out, if you accidentally didn't go to the leadership meeting, you're supposed to be over there, just step out and go on over there. It's not a big problem. We're not watching. Nope, nobody? Okay. So if you have a special prayer request, would you just lift your hands to the Lord? Talked with Brother Thompson a couple times in the last couple days, and it's been kind of touch and go with Sister Thompson. She's having some good days in the last few days. It's been better, but we want to continue to pray for her that she is fully healed and fully out of the painful situations that she's been in. She is at home now in Marshall, so we just want to pray for the Thompson family and all of those that are struggling with sickness. There's been a small wave of COVID go through our church again. So we want to just pray for all of those that are struggling with that they have a quick recovery and that God would just bless them. Lord, so let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, that you will touch, Lord Jesus, all the situations that have been mentioned here tonight. God, you lay your hand on Sister Thompson, especially, God. We ask you, God, that you will touch these services at the end of this week, oh Lord God, that you'll bless those that are in attendance, oh God, greatly, Lord Jesus. Let the Holy Ghost pour out miracles, signs, and wonders, oh God, be poured out on the congregation and on visitors here today at that time, Lord God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that there will be an anointing in all the way from Friday night at prayer, all the way through all of the different meetings and things that we've got going on the weekend, that God, you just bless, oh God, this weekend for your glory, God, and to touch your people, Lord. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you will touch all those that are struggling with COVID this week, oh God, that they would have minor symptoms and low impact, oh God, and they'd be back to work and back to school and back to wherever it is they want to be, Lord, very shortly, God. We just ask all these things in your name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just worship with us.
Son of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we stand one more time? I know we have prayed, but I believe that God is already doing a work. I know we're going to expect things to happen on Sunday. But you know, God will not change from tonight till Sunday. He's not going to get any more powerful. He's not going to get any weaker. In fact, His word is full of authority. Right now, I want you just to begin to confess to God how great He is, how powerful He is, how mighty He is, that He's the healer, and expect the healing power of God to flow even right now. Lord, I believe it. We're here confessing Your anointing and Your power. We bless You because You're God, and with You nothing shall be called impossible. It is Your name we call upon. And it's Your name we glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thanksgiving for His goodness. Amen. You may be seated. Blessings to all of you. We do have some handouts tonight. I don't know where they are, but we have them printed. And if our ushers can find them, I'd appreciate, because you all need one of these copies right now. So thank you so much for helping out on this. I know that Sister Jessica has printed them up. And they're fill in the blank also, by the way. But for Brother Hop's amazement, I will not give you a test. You'll get this test when you walk in life, okay? Praise God. So because of that, the scriptures will not be projected tonight. They are actually going to be on the bulletin that you're going to be receiving in just a little while. If you do have your Bible, if you're so kind, just go ahead, brother, and just pass them out. Come down the aisles and start here in the front and go to the back, or from the back go to the front. And if you got your Bible, anybody got a Bible? Anybody got a phone with a Bible on? I had this one fellow who used to come to church, and he couldn't read well. I knew that. And I said, well, can you put your Bible on your phone? He said, well, I don't have room on my phone. I said, why? He said, I got to have my music on there. Then when I started asking what kind of music he had, he needed the Bible definitely on it. All right, Romans chapter 12. Portion of scripture you most likely have memorized, but we're going to read it. And just follow on the bulletin. It's printed out there as well. If you don't have your Bible out by now, you'll get it in a moment. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I don't think I'm the only one, but I have puzzled over what these two scriptures really mean. I've heard a lot of preaching about it. Some got really philosophical. Some of it really got way out. And we're all crawling on an altar and getting burned up. But I really don't think it's that difficult to ascertain what the apostle is talking about here if we just keep it in the context of the scripture. Now, the book of Romans is a book that was written to the church in Rome. Paul had not ever been there when he wrote this particular portion of scripture. And so he's writing it to an audience he's never met. He obviously knows something about the makeup of it. He knows that there are Jews and there are Gentiles in it. So he's addressing the church. So we're already talking about a church that has a born-again experience, that already has experienced the apostolic message. He writes it to the church. And he begins sort of a treatise. He goes through a doctrinal, and they call it a theological work, in this particular book. He starts out in chapter 1 and he starts out with how man has fallen from his original estate with God. And he goes through, as you well know, the book of Romans chapter 1 and the progression as man follows these steps of degeneration into deeper sin. And then he goes on in chapter 3 and there he literally concludes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody has fallen into sin. Then when he goes down to chapter 5, he deals there with the redemption that comes through the cross. That's how we are saved, and through the mercy of Christ, how he has shed his blood and the exchange that was made. Chapter 6, he starts out with what we call the power of baptism. We are buried with Christ in baptism. And then there he concludes, the last verse is, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life. So in essence, what he's saying there is a way to get rid of sin, and that's the mercy and the gift of God. Romans 8, he talks there about the freedom. Chapter 7, he talks about, of course, the frustration of trying to keep the law. And then in chapter 8, he talks about there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And he talks about the freedom that we have through the living with for God in the New Testament covenant. Then he talks about, and remember, he's talking to this mixed crowd. The Jews are coming from a very stringent background that you have to be a Jew, you have to follow certain things. The Gentiles are coming in from paganism. And in this particular chapter, he begins to talk about how you come to God. You call on the name of the Lord. Now, many of our friends in the evangelical world use this as the plan of salvation. You call on the name of the Lord, confess in your heart, you will be saved. But we know how that confession takes place because you read the book of Acts, you find that your confession is definitely you believe in the Lord, but it's followed by baptism and receiving his Spirit, and then your mouth will confess that you've received the power of the Holy Ghost. And then in chapter 11, he deals there with a little brief situation where he talks about the Gentiles. He first of all, he starts there with, is it advantage to be a Jew? And he said, yes, it is. And then he talks about how the Jewish faith has led them into this little box of problems where they can't see beyond it. But then he talks to the Gentiles, that you have been grafted in as a wild olive branch into this true olive branch. Beware, lest God breaks you off because he broke off the original one. Then chapter 12, he begins dealing with practical Christian living. He goes from theology to living. And then in chapter 13, he deals with government authority, how we are to submit to government authority, and then how to live in expectation of the return of Christ. Chapter 14 deals with the subject of judging your brother, and he talks there about eating meats. And of course, that's a subject in itself, and the weak brother, and all that type of thing that he deals with. 15, he deals with bearing the infirmities of the weak, and then greetings to fellow workers in chapter 16, and the power of the gospel to sustain you. Amen. The gospel is good news, folks. And the good thing about good news, if you ever look at the world out there, they don't have any good news. We have good news. And the world out there is living with their bad news. CNN, ABC, Fox, they're going to tell you all the bad things are going on in the world. The gospel tells you the good news. It's all in God's hand. He's in control. Praise God. But that leaves us chapter 12. How are we going to be the living sacrifice? How do we get on this altar? How do we make it done? Well, actually, the answer follows in the remainder of the chapter. This is how we make our lives the living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And he begins to break it down into very reasonable things, but not necessarily easy. Because what he talks about now is the sacrifice. We all like the glory, right? All like the wonders of God. But when God starts talking about, now this is how you show your Christianity, this is how you demonstrate it, that's when we start, is there another road, by the way? Is there a little simpler path than what you're giving to me to do? Romans 12, verse 3 says, "For I see through the grace given unto me, to a man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." The first thing is, none of us can boast that we were worthy of salvation. That's what he's saying. We thank God for salvation, but it's not our lineage. We can be born in the church. We can be born in the preacher's house. We can be born outside of, but none of us can boast that we were worthy of salvation. This puts us all on the same level. I'm not above you. He saved me by his mercy and his grace. Furthermore, if you notice, we said, well, I believed God. Did you notice in that verse that he even has given us the measure of faith to believe him? That's pretty hopeless on our part. So what he's saying here is the first thing recognize is we didn't get here by our merit. We got here because of his mercy and his grace. He gave us faith to believe it, and here we are. And so when we look on one another, we all came in the same way. None of us are worthy. And you talk about a sacrifice. It will be when you start looking at something. Now, this is what happens. You're in the church for a while, and in comes somebody that's newer than you, and they seem to go way ahead of you and get more honor than you. Oh, I know none of you in Madison have that spirit. Apparently, that was only in Beloit when I pastored there. But watch it. Credentials are given by God. And you have to be willing to step down in order to be brought ahead. Jesus taught that. Now, the members of the body, we're all part of it. And every part of the body has a function in which it ought to do. And there are certain members of the body that you don't see, but if it don't work, you got a problem. There was this crazy greeting. I never heard it, and I couldn't remember it till just recently. But in the little community I came from, maybe it was just my dad did this. I don't know if it was something that was on the radio back years ago before my time or what. But he'd greet folks and he'd say, "How's your liver?" Maybe somebody's heard that before. Now, I don't know what my liver's like. I tell you one thing, if it's not working, we'll all be aware of it. See, we, you know, we say he's got a beautiful face. You don't go around saying he's got a beautiful liver. But if you don't have your liver's not working, you're in trouble. And sometimes our position in the body is not always the kind that is something that's noticeable. But it's something that is necessary. And that means the whole body of Christ has to work together. And we bear one another's burdens and we care one for another in this thing. Then Paul goes through spiritual gifts. And these particular gifts only operate in sacrifice. That's why you don't hear a lot of people wanting these particular gifts, maybe one. Now, some seem to overlap 1 Corinthians 12. And I'll say this about 1 Corinthians 12. Those particular gifts are very dynamic. They're very powerful. And the Bible said you should desire these gifts. These particular gifts here are necessary. But not always are they the glamorous ones that we see put out front in everybody else, before everybody else. So it said, then having gifts differing according to the grace. Notice again, the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now all these gifts are given by God's grace. He trusted us with something we weren't worthy of. Now, the first thing about prophecy is going to be limited by your faith. And remember, faith is given by measure. Now, we can build our most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. That's all part of it. Prophecy in this particular verse does mean prediction and so on. It also means can be applied to preaching. But when you are operating in this particular gift under this particular place, it is not something you're showing off. Remember, everything you're saying to a person in this spirit, they're taking as truth from the Word. You're speaking on behalf of God. Now, that ought to mean a sacrifice on our part. We say, well, I never do that. There are many times you are called upon when talking to a friend, to a relative, to somebody in the street, where you're going to have to give a word, and we'll talk about this, of encouragement, and sometimes even a prophetic utterance. Remember when this is said, that doesn't mean you go, whoa, you know. But comes from your very mouth. And you say, where did that come from? This is where it becomes a sacrifice. You are literally putting your reputation on the line. And if this does not come to pass, they're going to point at you. So the sacrifice here is you're willing to literally sacrifice your own reputation to speak the word of God. You're going to say something that's going to be beneficial because it is going to be a benefit and a help and a guide to the person that you're ministering to. All right? So that particular one is prophecy, and it is done in the spirit of self-sacrifice. Okay, don't be conformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then the next term is ministry. A ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Now, ministry is like a servant. You know, ministering to the needs of others. I heard a lecture the other day that was quite interesting to me. But up until the time that Christianity began to literally penetrate the continent of Europe, it was warlords. It was benefactors. But if you notice in the European governmental world, they have something called a prime minister that only came about because of Christianity. They were no longer the benefactor. They now had become a public servant. That was their need. That was their calling. And so that's how Christianity has literally changed that particular top. It became a service rather than just a position. And if you notice, one particular man was just put out of office because in England, because they said he was lording it and he was disobeying. He was not being the servant he was supposed to be, and they called him on it. And he's had to resign because of that particular thing. Now, being a servant means being menial. How many like to go to a store and be treated like you're a person? Anybody? I'm just getting awful quiet around here. But it's really, you don't like going to a store where they look down your nose and they act like you don't belong there and you're a bother to them. We call that customer service. Somebody taught those people how to deal with the public and make them feel like they're important and they'll look after their needs. You got to be a servant mind. And this is true in the kingdom of God. Their little task was in the church. Now, I'm all for the music and I'm all for the practices that go into the music. I understand there's a servant attitude in there. But some people are doing a service job that they'll get no recognition for. But you sure don't like it when the bathroom isn't clean. Okay? I got on the wrong subject, I guess. But the situation, you understand what I'm saying? There's somebody that is willing to sacrifice, to be a living sacrifice, to make somebody else comfortable, to make somebody feel welcome, to make it feel like it's a place that's nice. You know, the friendly greeter, the usher that is accommodating to it, the Sunday school, and that will be in the teacher in a moment, but accommodating to the people. This is what I'm beginning to see, and I'm trying to show you, is the living sacrifice that Paul is talking about. It's not something so far, so nebulous and far out, and you have to get in a spiritual trance to produce it. This is living, folks. The next thing it is, teacher. Teacher. Teachers have to repeat over and over the subject. They tell us it takes us 7 times to make something we hear and are taught to become reality. The teacher that teaches the word of God has to be patient. Because more than one time as a pastor, I have taught on a subject only to find people are doing the very opposite of what I taught. That's not true in Madison. But how many times have you heard the same sermon and said, you know, I should be doing that, I should be doing that. And all of a sudden dawns on you, I better do that. That's where the teacher comes in. The teacher has to be willing to sacrifice, to repeat, to tell, to share, to go over the same way. You know, how many times did somebody have to tell you to be blessed of God? You had to give unto the Lord. It didn't make sense until finally it just dawned on you. They're telling me the truth. Maybe I better try it out. And it worked. The teacher goes over and over, teaching, instilling faith. This is a gift from God. It is a sacrificial gift. That's why when you see a person teaching Sunday school, that's a sacrifice. And if you are a Sunday school teacher, give it to them, because there's a lot of young preachers that are now in the ministry because of their Sunday school teacher. Not the pastor, the Sunday school teacher. Because they gave something of themselves. Even in denominational churches, this has affected people that come to the church. Yeah, I remember that from Sunday school. My teacher said that. And it maybe isn't always the most joyous thing. It's most exciting thing when Johnny is standing on his head with his feet on top of the table, you know. But you're doing it as a sacrifice unto God. Explaining the way of God over and over. Now the Bible in Romans 12 and 8. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. First of all, an encourager. Encouragement is, have you ever met somebody and you encouraged them and it felt like they just sucked everything out of you? There are certain people you don't ask, how are you? Because you're going to find out what you don't want to know. But somebody's got to encourage them. And this is sometimes a sacrifice. There were certain people that I did not ask how they were until after church. Because before church, they would have completely ruined everything I thought I was going to say. Because they literally needed it. But encouragers, people that are encouragers, encourage folks. The discouraged have to be encouraged. The discouraged that, well, I'm just not getting anything out of church. Well, you need to be in the house of God. Why? You're encouraging them. You're exhorting them. You are encouraging them. And as you do this, you're helping people to take heed to the scripture. And you live it out as well as say it. If you're telling somebody to be in the house of God, then lo and behold, maybe you ought to be here too. All right? Even if it is a sacrifice. The next thing is giver. All of us have to have some kind of financial discipline. I know that this church has gone deeply into trying to teach that. But we believe in a budget so we can take care of our obligations, so we can put God in our plans. Okay, that's part of it. And we have our priorities. We need housing. We need to take care of the family. We need food. And Paul said, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But Americans want a little bit more than that. That's okay. But we want this. But we also need to include in our budget our giving to God. But then there comes that occasion. A missionary comes with a special need. Now, it's beyond your budget, right? Present your bodies what? The living sacrifice. Now it comes to that point where you're going to give beyond what you have thought. You are now making the living sacrifice in your giving. And the Bible said, let the person do it with simplicity, meaning they're not giving to show off. Because I've had people that, oh, you're just showing off. No, we're not. We're trying to meet a goal. We're trying to meet a need and so on. There are times when the sacrifice is giving. Let him do it not self-seeking, but let him do it in giving glory to God. Then there's the ruler. Now, that term in our mind is somebody sitting on a throne. Actually, it's the manager. It's a person that is directing. Maybe you're over a ministry. Or you're overseeing something. You're looking out for people that you're leading or that you're trying to lead. And this is where you're doing it with this humility. And that is, you are not just thinking of how good you're looking, but you're trying to make them look better than you are. This is not true in the world in general. Many people hit their level and they'll never get any higher because they're not willing to become servant-oriented. They don't want anybody to get ahead of them. So when you're thinking and planning and praying what God wants to do in your life, you're making, this is part of the rulership or part of the management, and you're planning for growth. How will people come in, they receive the Holy Ghost. What am I going to do to help these people become established in the church? And it's not just the preacher's job. Everybody in the body needs to do this sacrifice and reach out to somebody we think we don't need. That was a slip of the tongue in a bad way. But we don't know, and we just sort of hold off. Then the Bible says, mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy with cheerfulness. The other day, I needed new windshield wipers on my car. So I go to whatever store I go to, and the man comes out, and he very kindly puts them on. And here comes a man, not dressed too nice, not looking, smelling real good. And he wanders up, and he looks at me and says, you look like my dad. Thanks. I said, well, no, I don't think I'm any related to your dad. He said, I know who you are. And then suddenly I recognized him. He'd been at my door before. He said, oh, I need a ride. Do you have some money? Now, I gave him the ride, and I gave him money. Now, hear me carefully, but it wasn't with cheerfulness. And some of you maybe are with me on that. I know I'm supposed to be a preacher and supposed to have it all together, but sometimes it aggravates me, okay? But this is where the sacrifice comes in, giving with cheerfulness. Now, I was taught more of this, and it really got to me because, of course, I came from a German background and self-sufficiency and all that type of thing and earn your way and all this good stuff that was taught to me from my parents and my grandparents and, you know, pick yourself by your bootstraps. All that was part of my life. And so the idea of help, you know, what are you doing to help yourself, was part of my mentality. And then I became a part of a group in Beloit called Caritas, which is a food bank. And I was absolutely taken back by the mercy that these people showed with cheerfulness. And they're not spirit-filled. These are denominational people. They don't even, but giving is part of their way of living. Now, if they can do it, we ought to outdo them in our cheerfulness, okay? Now, maybe I don't appreciate, I mean, I've even questioned the leadership, and I said, do all these people deserve it? They said, we don't care. They're going to have to deal with it. Okay. And they do it with a smile. And happening to know some of the budget phenomena and the lack of budgets at times, that they're still willing to give, puts a real challenge into all of us. This is part of the sacrifice, the cheerful sacrifice. Okay, are you getting to me, getting what the living sacrifice is now? It's not just some ethereal theory out there. It's practical living. Now we get into from verse 9 down to 21, the practical, real practical application. First of all, Paul said, love is to be genuine. It's not to have airs. Let your love be without dissimulation. He's talking there about caring for one another. Not just being picky in our love, but showing love. We're trying to reach the world. And what seeming the world is lacking, as unlovable as it is love. Love. Next thing, he says, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And while I'm on the subject, what are you allowing yourself and your children to watch? Is it evil? Abhor that which is evil. See, this could be the sacrifice. When we suddenly got to change what we're so used to doing and justifying to becoming more aware of this. Abhor that which is evil. Abhor the things that the world is projecting into our lives, be it video, be it whatever it is, and cleave to that which is good. Next, love one another in brotherly affection. Outdo one another in giving honor. Sacrifice. Then Paul says, don't be lazy in your business. Do your work with zeal because you're really, really serving the Lord. Okay? Then he says, rejoice in hope. That's one little line that sometimes really gets to us. We come to church and we feel burdened and we feel overwhelmed and we feel like nothing is going our way and people that we love are sick and are not getting well as fast as we like. Can we rejoice in hope? This is where it becomes the living sacrifice. Why are they rejoicing when nothing seems to be going the way that it should be going? Because they're making a living sacrifice of rejoicing in hope. Then the scripture says, be patient in tribulation. Be patient in your testing. Have you ever heard people say, I don't have any patience, and I'm praying for it. I'm not going to say good luck. I'll tell you exactly how you get patience. Tribulation worketh patience. So if you're praying for patience and all you got was trouble, you got exactly your prayers answered. Paul says here, one of the things you're going to be doing is you're going to show patience in your testing. We got folks going through testing, and this is not funny. This is not humorous. I know that. But what it is patient in God's timing. See, we'd like to, God, could you hurry up? God is on time, always on time. He never makes a mistake or error in his thinking or his timing. I don't understand that. There are things I don't understand, but it's God that's in charge. Okay? Then it is, contribute to the needs of the saints. Be aware of the needs of others and willing to help. Show hospitality. Oh, hospitality. You know, wouldn't it be nice if everybody just took care of themselves? But folks, we all want to feel important, right? You like to be treated like you're somebody. Then you have to treat other people like you want to be treated. Here's another goodie. Bless those that persecute you. Remember to bless and not curse them. I understand that some of our folks are going to be going through an extremely hard trial. And my first words out of my mouth was, God smite them. Not our people, those guys, whoever they are. I don't know what's going on, but I just heard enough to know about it. And God says, whoa, son, bless and what? Curse not. Don't even try it. You know, Jesus said offenses will come. I'm paraphrasing this. But what? Woe by whom they come? Now, what I've discovered is we'd like to help God with the woe part. And God said that woe part's none of your business. That's my business. You just bless them. Oh, that doesn't make sense. Hear where the sacrifice is? Are you getting it now? This is the living sacrifice when you're blessing those that are hurting you. Then it says, rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. Somebody comes and they tell you all the heartaches they have, all the things they've gone through, and you just feel so bad for them. And in 2 weeks, they come driving a brand new Lexus. Or whatever they drive. You know, it was easy to weep, but now rejoice. Lucky dog. Maybe don't say those words around here. But can we rejoice with those that rejoice? Sometimes the rejoicing is as much as the sacrifice as the weeping. Then the Bible says, live in harmony. I heard one pastor put it like this. He said it came from an old elder. He said, living with the saints above, that will be glory. Living with the saints below, that's another story. We'll even go with that. Don't be haughty. Be willing to associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't plan to repay, to get even. Give no thought to it, but be honorable. Why? Live at peace as much as possible with those around you. Then Romans 12, 19 to 20. Beloved, never avenge yourself. I'm reading out the ESV. But leave to the wrath of God. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Notice his terms. Now, more than one time in Scripture, this is told. Don't plan vengeance. Now, I know I can't do it, but I like to tell God how to do it once in a while. I'm very human. Let's be honest. And there are times when people do things that are just wrong. And you say, God, could you give him a flat tire? Maybe something worse? It's none of your business. I'll take care of it. See, we like to help God out. Some of our prayers we pray, we're actually telling God what he needs to do. Now, if you ever study the Lord's Prayer, you'll find out that really you don't tell God a whole lot what to do. The Lord's Prayer is all about him, not about us. It's our dependence upon him. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Two things we like to get into, and that's temptation and play around with evil. It's all to all glorify him. And prayer is like that. It's not to glorify us. It's to glorify him. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The whole scripture, all of Romans 12, is wrapped up in the last verse. Be not overcome of evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. That's all wrapped up right there. That's the living sacrifice that really shows we've come under the power and we're doing the will of God and we're doing holiness that honors God in everything and in every way. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you've got a word from the word of the Lord? Aren't you glad you got a Bible you can follow? Aren't you glad you got something that gives you hope and gives you direction that you need? Amen. This book works. It may cost a sacrifice on our part, but it's going to work because it's backed up by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you stand with me right now? We're going to honor the Lord. Thank you for your patience and your kindness. Amen. And I'd just like us to honor God right now by lifting our hands and just telling God how great he is, how wonderful he is. Give him praise for what he is doing. Amen. I give you praise, Lord, in the sanctuary. I give you praise in my life. I give you praise because you're God and you never fail. Lord, we want to be that living sacrifice. We want to show that living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Give us grace. Give us that understanding. For we know by doing this, we will honor you. We will honor your holy name. We will honor the grace and the power of God. Hallelujah. Lord, you're great. Hallelujah. Let your healing flow through this house right now. Let your mighty spirit move through this place right now. Oh, hallelujah. You know every need that is in this place. Every heart that is hurting, every life that is under attack, and you're on the throne and you're giving grace and glory. For your name shall be glorified from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. In the beautiful name of Jesus. In the beautiful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's praise him out loud right now. Let's make this house ring with some praise unto God. Let it ring with the glory of God. Hallelujah. 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 We glorify your name this day. We magnify the beautiful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This altar, this front of the church is open. If you want to come and reflect on the things of God, you're welcome to come. Otherwise, God be with you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. We'll see you on Sunday morning. Be ready for a move of the miraculous power of God. Prepare your heart. Amen. And let God do his work. In Jesus' name.
Give myself away so you can hear. Lord.